Good morning, girls and boys. Good to see you all. Now we're turning to the psalm from which we just sung a little. A few verses. The psalm 2. Let's just begin by reading the first three verses of psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. May the Lord bless this reading of his precious word. Amen. As you know, the subject of study in our assemblies currently is some of my favorite psalms. And we've had a look at Psalm 1, and we come now to Psalm 2. Now that doesn't mean we'll be going 3, 4, 5, 6 to 150, for that would take us a long time. It just so happens that Psalm 2 is one of my favorite psalms, one of my very favorite psalms, and we'll take a little time to look at it because it's a very important psalm. Now, when we started our study, I pointed out to you how that in Psalm 1, we have, as it were, a little Bible. Because Psalm 1 deals with that which is at the very heart of the Bible's message. That is, holiness and obedience to God will bring joy and everlasting life. But disobedience to God and his word will bring the soul down to everlasting ruin and grief and sorrow. So as I say, you have a little Bible in the Psalm 1. Well, when we come to the Psalm 2, I think I can say that in this psalm, we have a wonderful proof of who God is. There is a setting forth in this Psalm 2 of a most important claim by God. I'm going to read a verse from Isaiah 46. It's actually two verses. Isaiah 46, and it's the verses 9 and 10, where we read these words, remember the former things of old, for I am God. I am God. And there is none else. That's important. There's none else, no other God but the Lord. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasures. Now, boys and girls, I want you to remember those two verses because they set forth very, very important truths. God alone is God. There's no one else. I know the world has umpteen gods. In fact, on the Lord's Day past, we heard that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of religions in the world, differing one from another, and each one with their own particular God. He's not a God at all. He's just a figment of man's imagination. There's only one God, and there's none like him. And what marks him as God is that he can declare the end from the beginning. We can't do that. There's not one of us here who can say what will happen at the end of this day. Not one of us. We might make a guess, and that guess may turn out to be right, but it was still only a guess, because we couldn't be sure. But God knows the end from the beginning. And that's because he has ordained it. He has planned it so. And as he says here, my counsel, my decision, my purpose and plan shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now again, that's something that no man can say. None of us can say, I will do all my pleasure. We haven't the power to bring about circumstances whereby all that we desire to do comes about. Life is filled with disappointments, filled with unfulfilled plans. I was reading not so long ago of a family heading off for a wonderful holiday. Oh, they had all the plans made, only to discover when they got to the airport there were one or two things missing among the documents that they had to travel, and they couldn't get on the plane and fly to their holiday destination. I wasn't there, but there were wee boys and girls in the family, and I can imagine what a howl went up from them when they were told no holiday. No, life's full of disappointments because we cannot fulfill what it is we desire to see happen. But God can. I will, he says, do all my pleasure. That's what makes the Lord God and the only God. And in this psalm, this truth is set out. For in this psalm we are taken, as it were, by the hand, and God walks us right into the future, and he shows us what's going to happen, and everything he has planned will come to pass. So, I'm introducing this psalm to you today. We'll not get down to studying any of the verses, but I will set out the truths that mark it out as a special psalm. You see, this psalm gives us a summary. You know what a summary is? I'm sure in your English essay studies, you may well have been asked to give a summary of something. That is, you pick out the main points of some topic that you have been dealing with, and you set it down. Well, here in this psalm, we have a summary of all that is prophesied in the Bible relating to the kingdom of Christ in this world and how it is going to encounter many difficulties, but in the end, triumph. There is given us an insight into the wicked scheme of the devil. God knows what the devil's planning. And we have in this psalm a summary, a condensed, squeezed down account of what it is the devil is planning to do in this world. He's going to recruit men and women and boys and girls to engage in an evil plot to rebel against God and to attempt to overthrow him and topple his eternal purpose and stop it coming to pass. That's what the devil's going to do. And if he can get you to help him, he will. He will. And that's set out in this psalm. We'll be looking at that in more detail. The Lord shares this knowledge that he has of what the devil is going to do. The Lord tells us about it. And he tells us about it in order that we might not get involved in it. He tells us about it so that we may be warned. Now you can imagine that the devil would want to hush up God's warning. The devil would recognize that I can really only succeed in my scheme if I can stop people knowing what I'm going to do through God's revelation of my plan. And that's what the devil's been doing throughout the years, trying to turn men and women's eyes away from what's revealed here, so that they mightn't see what God has revealed concerning the devil's evil scheme. God has set it down for us to learn from it, and the devil wants us to miss it and not learn from it. And you know, he's been very successful. There's an awful lot of Christians, not to mention people who don't believe in God and don't believe the Bible, but there's a lot of Christians are unaware of what it is the devil plans because they have been deceived into ignoring the warning given us by God in his word. Here in this psalm, we are given wonderful reassurance. God tells us that which has not yet come to pass, but will come to pass. He shows us details of the final plan of the devil, how it's going to finally manifest itself. And he shows us
the utter failure of that plan. So it's good to know, boys and girls, from God's word, that the devil, no matter how much he schemes, is going to fail. How the devil must hate the Bible. He must hate the Bible, because in it is written the account of his defeat. That must anger the devil. Here he is scheming away, trying to overcome God and God's will and God's purpose. And in the Bible, there is disclosed very clearly that he will not succeed. Oh, he must hate the Bible. If you were about to start a race, which you hoped you were going to win, you looked at all the other competitors and you thought, I can outrun them all, and you're ready to go, and somebody came up beside you and whispered in your ear, you're not going to win. That fella down there, he will run faster than you. You'd be angry at that. You wouldn't want to hear that. Well, in the same fashion, the devil finds in God's word a declaration from God, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. Instead, you're going to be brought to absolute ruin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you hate, is going to be conqueror of all his enemies and the glorious redeemer of his people. Yes, boys and girls, it's all there in the Bible. And there's a little summary of it, as it were, a shortened version of it here in this Psalm 2 that we will be looking at over the next week or so. For the reasons that I've given you, Christians should study this Psalm everywhere. Christians should study this Psalm. It is so kind of God to take what the rest of the Bible says about the future and squeeze it down into the 12 verses that we have here. That's kind of God. He has made it easy for us to understand what the future holds. Now, this was written a long, long, long time ago, maybe up to 3,000 years ago, so that you have, in these verses, events that will take place in the future, and yet God has been so kind as to squeeze it all down into 12 verses for you to learn. You know, we really have no excuse for not knowing what the Bible teaches. When God, in this wonderful fashion, condenses it and gives us a shortened version of it. If you had to learn the whole of the portions of God's word that deal with prophecy, you'd be a long time getting those all into your mind and memorizing them. But God has been kind, and he has shortened it all into the Psalm 2, and you can there get a whole clear picture of what God's going to do. And I would say, you should learn this Psalm. You should study this Psalm, as should Christians everywhere study this Psalm. Now, you'll find in this Psalm that which you will not find in any newspaper, that which you will never hear on the radio, that which you will never see in a television news broadcast. The world knows nothing about what God reveals here. So you have access to something that the world really knows nothing about. Knows nothing about. Because the world is blinded to the schemes of the devil and the wicked deceits that he is working. Now it's very clear from God's word here in this psalm just where the world is heading. Not many people can tell you what's going to happen in the future. There are a lot of people who pretend they can. But God, who knows the future, has set it out for us to learn. So we can be aware of certain things that are going to happen in the future. And this psalm, as I say, shows us the world is heading in a certain direction. It's following a path that's going to have the same results, only to a far greater degree, as happened to the world in the days of Noah. If you read in Genesis chapter 6 where we meet Noah, you read about the world becoming more and more wicked, more and more violent, and in the end God said, I'm going to destroy the world, and he brought in the flood. Well, as we read the Bible, we discover that that's what God's going to do again. He's going to bring this world down under his judgment, and the ways of wicked men will come to an end. God will stop them. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? It's going to take place on a worldwide scale in the future. And God reveals that to us. God reveals that to us. How important it is for us to heed what God says. We don't want to be part of the crowd that will meet with the judgment of God. And the only way we can avoid being part of that crowd is to heed God's word. Oh, the rest of the world will be happy to go down the path of disobedience and defiance and will laugh and scoff at us if we should say, I'm not going with you. But the Bible comforts us by saying, well, by not going with them, you're going to end up pleasing God and going to heaven. So don't worry about them laughing and scoffing. They're laughing and scoffing on their way to everlasting ruin. Their laughing will end, and it will be turned into grief and sorrow. Turned into grief and sorrow. Now, it's most appropriate, therefore, given this summary that I have given you of this psalm, it's most appropriate that we look at it and study it. Because, you see, we begin to see all around us. Maybe you don't fully recognize all that's happening in the world. Your world's here in the school. And at home, and those places that mum and dad take you, that's your world. You have no idea what's happening in Belfast, what's happening in London, what's happening in Paris, or Rome, or New York. Those things are not part of your world at the moment. But as you grow older, you will begin to listen and to consider just what's happening in the world. And as you do that, you will see clearly that what God says will happen in the last days of this age are taking place. They're taking place. The wickedness that God speaks of, it's happening. Breaking out all around. Breaking out all around. So we have the privilege of studying God's word and taking heed to it and seeing where the world is going, even though the world can't see it and doesn't understand it. Now the psalm is divided into four sections. There are 12 verses, and the sections comprise of verses 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5, and 6, 7, 8, and 9, 10, 11, 12. Nicely divided into four sections, all dealing with a specific topic, and we'll be looking at that in the will of the Lord when we come back again to this psalm, starting on Thursday in the will of God, when I'm back with you once more. But in the meantime, you can read the psalm. Think about the psalm. See if you can beat me to the punch, as it were, and get points from the psalm that I will be making. Oh, do that, boys and girls. Read the psalm. Get mummy to read it, daddy to read it, and you instruct them as to what's in it. All right, let's bow in prayer. I pray, Lord, you'll bless the boys and the girls. Give to them a longing within their hearts to know what God has said. We thank thee for the attention that they give to this poor preacher. But, O God, I pray that they may learn to give a greater attention to the one who knows all things, the great teacher, the Lord Jesus. Write your words, Lord, then on their hearts, I pray, and bless our school today and all that concerns it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.